Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe with you all this weekend. Happy to be with you all, as always. And I was with you all on the Alan Nathan Show, which I will get to in a moment. However, first, I want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing this program to exist, even despite the content of the program, despite sometimes with the initial reporting getting things wrong from news outlets that we just repeat because, you know, you think I'm a reporter? Hell no. We still appreciate the Main Street Network supporting us nonetheless. And we also want to thank the Salem Radio Network distributing this show. Silk or Joe Show can be found at mainstreetradionetwork.com. You can find previous editions of the program up there as well. You can find the Alan Nathan Show up there as well and previous editions of that, but also at alannathan.com, at least for that show, not for the Silk or Joe Show. We do not have our own website because we did not exist independent of the Main Street Radio Network, unlike the Alan Nathan Show, which had a solid, 12 years or so before Main Street Radio Network brought them in. So, with that said, they have social media. Of course, there's Twitter at Alan Nathan for Alan Nathan Show, but the rest of it is all folded under the Main Street Radio Network umbrella. You have Facebook, Main Street Radio Network, Wimkin, W-I-M-K-I-N, Main Street Radio Network, Twitter at Main Street Radio, and Getter, G-E-T-T-R.com, at Silk or Joe Show. That's just for this show, though, so you only get like one or two posts per week. In fact, I do believe I totally forgot to post earlier this week about the guest hosting the Alan Nathan Show. Oh, well. Anyway, speaking of when I guest hosted the Alan Nathan Show, I may have said some things that were, first I've got to say that I totally forgot about Mayorkas being impeached because it means nothing. It will never pass through the Senate. Not with rhinos like Mitch McConnell in charge who think border security means issuing work permits to 8,500 per day and letting the rest in on asylum claims. So the Mayorkas impeachment bears no further mentioning. Anyway, so you have Tucker Carlson now. He is, I wanted to get to this on the Alan Nathan Show too, but just there was not enough time. You know, I've got all these topics, but so little time with you all, regardless of which show I host. Tucker Carlson, you may have heard, he interviewed Vladimir Putin, right? And the left just went nuts, and the establishment too, and also the European Union, apparently. They're considering sanctions against Tucker Carlson. And Ukraine, they put him on their hit list. They have this non-government institution or whatever that tracks enemies of Ukraine and Ukrainian intelligence. And, you know, as much as the liberal media in the U.S. likes to say, oh, this doesn't mean that Tucker's on Ukraine's official hit list, guess what? Ukrainian intelligence works with this organization to decide who to kill. So that is, Tucker just elevated himself to a target of Ukraine's terror against journalism. They already killed a journalist, by the way, an American journalist, died in a Ukrainian prison. And they have no problem with that. Don't you remember when Saudi Arabia killed a journalist? Liberals were up in arms, and this journalist that they killed was Osama bin Laden's friend. And that kind of person, the left went nuts over. They were like, oh no, Saudi Arabia, how dare you kill this stalwart citizen, upstanding individual, this lovely, lovely, beautiful person, even though he was friends and sympathized with Osama bin Laden. So that same left didn't care that Ukraine killed an American journalist and threatened to kill another one. So that's the standards of the liberal media right there, I guess. And here's another thing, though. They're saying Tucker is a traitor or whatever for interviewing Vladimir Putin, spreading propaganda. CNN's Christiana Amanpour, I think she also works for PBS, too, in some capacity. You know, she says that they're going to do real journalism and not interview Vladimir Putin. But the thing is, this is the same person who interviewed Hamas, as if they're going to be as if they were any better than Putin. In fact, they're a bit worse, because Putin isn't living off in la-la land while his entire population is getting bombed to oblivion. That's the Hamas leadership that Christiana Amanpour interviewed. No, Putin is... Well, Russia's not getting bombed back to oblivion, so Putin doesn't really have that standard to live up to. And also, he didn't advocate the absolute genocide of the Jews, unlike Hamas does. So I guess what, CNN, if Putin advocated genocide, CNN would consider journalism to interview him? I'm not sure what the standard is here. But then again, this is the same liberal media in general that thinks it was great to interview Castro, who pretty much is Putin, had his political opponents executed and all that sort of thing. And then you just have no problem with that. In fact, Gavin Newsom, California governor, he cleaned up homeless people in San Francisco. You know, when we're told that cleaning up homeless people is racist and classist, that you have to tolerate their presence on your streets. He cleaned them all up, swept them all aside for the president of China, premier of China. What is he? The Communist Party leader of China. There is no word in Chinese for president. That's not what they call him. He's the director of the Communist Party in China, Chairman Xi. Chairman is the word I was looking for. I kept wanting to say communist, not chairman. It's the same thing, really. But anyway, Chairman Xi, when he came over from China to visit San Francisco, the California governor did the unthinkable as far as the left was concerned and swept aside the homeless. But they were okay with that. No problem. They wanted to impress the communist leader of China, the same guy who practices slavery, the same guy who practices genocide, the same guy who wants to invade Taiwan. He's worse than Putin, really. But the liberal media had no problem with him coming over to visit, had no problem with the unthinkable racist, classist, bigoted act of cleaning up the homeless from the street just to impress this foreign leader. Nope, no problems there. But Tucker Carlson goes to interview Putin. Whoa! You gotta wonder why, though. Maybe this is just a case of follow the money. Because, as I mentioned on the Al Nathan show earlier this week, the Ukraine is a strong source of money for liberal leaders. Left-wing leaders, Democrat leaders, even Mitch McConnell got some money from Ukraine. Sort of. So, maybe they are just defending their leader's cash cow. Or maybe this is just one of those things where they are just so absorbed with the good war against Russia, because they've been hating Russia for years now. In 2017, they started calling for war with Russia because they said Russia stole our elections. 2018, they were still calling for war with Russia when the midterms came around. So they really hate Russia, have hated it for 7 years now. Six and a half years now, I guess. So it's really ingrained in their psyche that Russia is evil, and yet they, so much so, I guess, that slavery and genocide and wanting to invade foreign nations, that's no problem. Roll out the red carpet and roll it over your own citizens, in the case of San Francisco, that's no problem to them. But boy, how dare you go and get the other side of the story, like a real journalist would. Even if it was just a propaganda interview, you still would do it. That's what they did with Hamas. The genocide of Jews, the genocide of Muslims in China, slavery, none of that matters to liberals. All that mattered was that Putin bad, Tucker bad, that's it. That's all they had. And now Tucker is on a hit list, which they, again, deny. Liberal media is a joke of itself at this point. This is how they treat a real journalist, not a propagandist. They are propagandists themselves. And they claim that Tucker is just being a propagandist for Putin. Yet, what are they doing? What's the liberal media doing? They've been propagandists for China, propagandists for Hamas, propagandists for North Korea. Is there, aside from Russia, have they met a dictatorial regime that they haven't liked? Aside from Saudi Arabia, I guess, just that one time where they killed a journalist that liberals were in love with. And again, this journalist that liberals were in love with, contributor to the Washington Post, was bin Laden's friend and sympathized with bin Laden. Then again, a lot of liberals, we found out last year, sympathized with bin Laden. So maybe that's just the description of the left right there. Bin Laden okay, genocide okay against Muslims, genocide okay against Jews, slavery okay, as long as you're not Vladimir Putin. As long as you're not the chosen enemy of the day. And they keep trying to like link Putin and Trump and say that that's the entirety of the right. Those people represent right-wingers and all that. So maybe that's part of it. Maybe they just, they're okay with Hamas. They're okay with what China's doing with genocide and slavery. It's all okay because they consider them allies of the left, which I guess they are. So, you know, as far as the intersectionality framework goes, you have the white leaders of Putin and Trump and the Jews versus the brown or non-white leaders of Hamas and China. So maybe that's all that it took, just the skin color decided your morality. That would also be an explanation. Then again, China does fund a lot of the Democrats' favorite politicians. just as Ukraine was laundering money back to a lot of the media's favorite politicians. So that could be part of it as well, just solid money, and they don't want to piss their leaders off. And you've got, they're turning against their own radical leftist protesters too. You know, you have Nancy Pelosi demanding the FBI come in and investigate pro-Palestinian protesters. Now, I'm sure they feel a betrayal on that because, boy, after Pelosi said Hamas is a humanitarian organization back in 2014, they probably thought they had an ally in her. And the idea that your left-wing liberal leader from San Francisco, who frequently touts how liberal she is, would call the FBI to investigate protesters and say they're either from China or Russia, working at the behest of that. Well, I hope the left enjoys the surveillance state that they demanded for the right, working against them. We got more Silker Joe Show coming up after this break.
Wine Country by rising country star Hannah Ellis. After 10 years of carving out her own space in Music City, the Kentucky native now introduces her debut album, That Girl, available now. Named by Rolling Stone Country as an artist to watch and a CMT Listen Up artist, Hannah Ellis has appeared on the Grand Ole Opry several times and toured with stars such as Billy Currington, Gavin DeGraw, and Carly Pierce. That Girl reveals a seasoned songwriter embracing her small-town roots, her real-life romance, and her relatable artistic voice. Hannah Ellis told us about the inspiration for the new album.
The heart of country music is storytelling. Life itself is the inspiration behind this record. Whether it's my sister's breakup, my insecurities, or falling in love, I'm just living my life with a pen and a microphone.
That Girl is now available wherever you get music. For more, visit HannahEllisMusic.com.
From debut author Carolina Ixta comes an unforgettable new young adult novel, Shut Up, This Is Serious, tells the story of two Latina girls growing up in East Oakland, who face a world full of messy complexities as they try to navigate their high school years. Belen wants the normal teen stuff, to hang out with friends, experience love, or maybe even have a boyfriend. But nothing is normal in her East Oakland community. Her father left her family. She's at risk of not graduating. And Letty, her religious best friend, is pregnant by the boyfriend she hasn't told her parents about. Weighed by a depression she can't seem to shake, Belen sees her other classmates getting ready for college. But what future is there for girls like her? Author Carolina Ixta.
Shut Up, This Is Serious deals with topics such as racism, generational trauma, and teen pregnancies, though it's also about the fierce and intimate uplifting power of friendship and chosen family.
Shut Up, This Is Serious is now available wherever books are sold.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids for multiple choice parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is gonna happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Gotta get this all straightened out. Give him a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. We are joined for this segment by David Barnheiser. He is professor of law emeritus at Cleveland State University and also was a Ford Foundation Urban Law Fellow at Harvard and is author of the new book, Conformity Colleges, The Destruction of Intellectual Creativity and Dissent in America's Universities. David Barnheiser, happy to have you on the show. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, happy to have you. I'm doing well. Thank you. So tell us about your book, Conformity Colleges. I guess based on the title, you're talking about how they're more for teaching students what to think as opposed to how to think.
No question about that. There is a definite ideology that over the last, it's really been developing over 50 years or so, but it has reached a critical mass maybe 10, 15 years ago and has affected not only the universities, but the entire education system. It's a scary thing. I believe in social justice, something that you didn't mention at the top is I've spent my life in social justice issues and as a civil rights attorney, teaching justice, helping, representing impoverished minority people in criminal and civil cases. So it's not something... For me, it's really the reason I wrote this is because I believe totally in justice, but I also believe totally in critical thinking and the ability to create the best society we can create. And instead of doing that, we have consistently degraded our society by just teaching them a one-sided ideology.
Yeah, it just seems that...
That's why I wrote the book.
Yeah, it just seems that like the people now who are advocating for social justice, they have this idea that critical thinking, learning both sides of the story, understanding everything that's going on is tantamount to betraying the cause. Like you can't even have an errant thought in your head, otherwise you're not pure ideologically devoted to them.
Or in the cancel culture, even if you are devoted to them, if you voice that thought, and this is one of the terrible things within the university and in K through 12 and in the society generally, is if you voice that thought, the collective of what I would call, and I have a reason to call it that, Marxist socialists, the collective force of that comes after you like a vicious mob. They're going to hurt you. They're going to punish you. They're going to destroy your career. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I've seen this happening from the beginning. They actually tried to recruit me when I went into full-time law teaching after leaving Harvard because the whole thing really started, there are threads of it that have been around for a long time, but the organized aspect of it started really at Harvard Law School and driven by something at that time they called critical legal studies, which was when they explained it to me and called me and said, we'd like you to be part of this. We got all through that and it sounded great because I believe, as I said, in social justice and fairness and opportunity and equality. I'm totally dedicated to that and have been in my life. But then they ended up saying, I said, what's it really all about? And they said, well, it's based Marxism and socialism. And this was about 1973, 74, and I said, I don't do isms, and I certainly don't do those because I studied some of them before, Russian history and philosophy and politics and Das Kapital, even when I was a kid, looked at it and then looked at societies, and there aren't any good Marxist societies. They can say the words, they can use narratives, they can make it sound wonderful and beautiful and philosophically pure, but it's a destructive, socially destructive process that totally contradicts real human nature. And go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just about to say that it seems to be they have a detachment from reality, because anytime you ask them, well, what about this Marxist society? What about this one? You know, they'll say, oh, that isn't true Marxism. You know, you ask them about China before they made the flip to capitalism. No, that right. wasn't Marxism under right. Mao. Right. And Stalin, nope, that wasn't Marxism either.
In reality, you see, Marx, some of his ideas are fine. I'm not going to say what they are, but the reality is he just didn't understand human nature. He made this idea, that this assumption that this great proletariat evolution of the people, they're going to be able to do a government and as a collective, a wonderful thing in terms of the future of humanity. He left out the reality of what humans are like. You know, the conflict, the greed, the desire, the search for power. And so what inevitably happened is that even if the ideas were right, they were based on a flawed concept of what people were. And so you just can't do it with real people. Every time you try to do something like that, what happens is a collective, a very tight group, like with the people don't realize that in a country of 1.3 billion people, China has the Chinese Communist Party only has something like 3 million, you know, an incredibly small percentage of the Chinese people. And then you go back, you know, one of the things, 1937, Mao Zedong, as he was moving forward with his revolution, wrote about liberalism, that we can't have liberalism. It will get in the way of the revolution, because people who are trained in that way are open-minded. They ask questions. They don't automatically obey orders and things along that line. And so liberalism is bad. And so if you're a Marxist or a Maoist, because there's a combination of what is going on, it's based on a false idea, false presumption of what humans are. And it is dedicated to creating a system in which people listen to this tight-knit group of people who seize power under the rhetoric of working for the entire culture. But they're not doing that. They're doing it for their own power. They're ideologues and their power. You know, the people who end up with power are people who need, for some reason, to have power. And so they can't avoid that. They always orient or drift toward power and power over others. Mm-hmm. And wealth and benefit for themselves, very much benefit for themselves.
Yeah, that's why I was about to say that, like, generally from what I hear about why they might be opposed to capitalism and going towards the Marxism, they think somehow the state is going to be this pure source of justice in society. But it's like, how's that going to happen? Because it's ran by the same humans that are running corporations. It's not going to be good either way.
You have it. You have it. And plus, they control the military. They control all those processes, and the people who are in charge. Give you an idea. Few people understand that China has the world's largest population of billionaires now, and they also have a huge number of millionaires. That is what they have done. But you know who got those benefits? The party people get those benefits. And that's, they're scared to death of their general population. They are very frightened. The Chinese are very frightened. That's why Tiananmen Square happened, and they murdered the students who were seeking democracy.
Mm-hmm. Well, Professor Barnheiser, we have 15 seconds left. Where can we get a copy of your book, Conformity Colleges?
You can get it on Amazon. It's available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Google, Apple, Walmart, all kinds of places.
All right. Well, thank you for being on the Silk or Joe Show. Listeners, we got more programming coming up after this break.
I'm Marissa Brainy with some party hosting tips for your game day watch party in partnership with Target, my favorite one-stop shop. This year, Target's pulled together three game day spreads for under $25, a cheeseburger taco board, fun twist on a traditional, a wing basket, gotta have those wings, and a nacho bar. Love these for great finger food options that won't break the bank. If you're looking for snacks, Target's Good & Gather brand has you covered, from chips and popcorns to great dips. And in terms of drinks, you want some non-alcoholic versions as well. So think about varieties like Lagunitas, Athletic Brewing Co., and Good & Gather's Sparkling Water, the Cherry Cola flavor is a must. Don't forget Target offers same-day delivery and drive-up options, which make it really easy to stick to your list and your budget. Just head to Target.com or the Target app.
Hello, I'm Peter Castleman, and I'm the co-author of this book, Eat to Think. We come into this world with a beautiful brain. The most amazing part about the brain is it's designed to regenerate, not deteriorate. Yet, we're starting to eat foods that destroy our brains. The result is a crisis of cognition decline. 1 in 3 seniors are dying with some form of dementia. It does not have to be this way. We wrote this book, Eat to Think, because 97% of your brain health you control. And in this book is a roadmap to try to understand the brain and a path to how you improve your brain health. Go to eattothink.com, download a free version of the book, as well as other products that we can give you to help you start your journey to improve your brain health.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny, when I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean, and there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
This is David Cordani, CEO of Cigna. For more than 20 years, Cigna has worked with the March of Dimes to address premature births in the U.S. Premature births cause horrible suffering and cost billions of dollars each year. That's why Cigna is committed to raising funds and awareness through our employees, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies. Please join us in supporting the March for Babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
The March of Dimes and HCA Healthcare are committed to the best possible start for every baby. I'm Amy Casseri, Vice President of HCA Women and Children's Services, where we have the honor of delivering over 200,000 babies a year. We partner with the March of Dimes on research and fundraising to help build a brighter future for babies everywhere. So march with us on one of the many HCA teams assembled nationwide. Learn more at marchforbabies.org/HCA.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. So this week, tragically, we had a couple more mass shootings. And, you know, Joe Biden, he was right out there to say we need to ban assault weapons because, I don't know, I don't even know if they were used in these. But, yeah, he doesn't know either, certainly. But, you know, ban them anyway, because that's just, why not? That's been the left's rhetoric about why to ban assault weapons when they aren't actually used in crimes that they come that they use as an excuse to ban them. Just why not? It'll reduce them, maybe not this crime, but it will stop them at some point, somewhere, maybe. But you know what? That's going to happen because their reasoning is that they want to remove the assault weapons to reduce the amount of guns out there for criminals to have, which also means reduce the amount of guns out there for law-abiding citizens to have. And by doing that with assault weapons, of course, that doesn't work. But hey, if you believe their logic for it, for assault weapons, you'll believe their logic when they come after the next type of gun. And if you listen to the Alan Nathan show earlier this week, you'll learn how they decide what an assault weapon is. Literally, they just went through a catalog pointing at ones that look scary. Anyway, though, I do have to issue a correction, though, about one of the mass shootings earlier this week. I didn't talk about the Kansas one yet, but that one. Anyway, this is about the previous one, the one in Texas, where I said that it was a left-wing illegal immigrant trans mass shooter. Well, turns out it may just have been a leftist immigrant mass shooter. Maybe illegal. That detail is unavailable. Maybe trans, but there's some confusion over that because it could have just been because this person had been using a slew of fake identities across multiple genders. Supposedly. Sure, and we are joined now by Mike Waller, because I just had to issue that correction there. Mike Waller, happy having the show. How are you today?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. So, the CIA and FBI, right? They, we used to think of them as sort of heroes of the Cold War, I suppose. And now that we are found with them being, well, kind of going off the rails, how'd they get here?
They really were heroes of the Cold War, in that they were set up to especially after World War II, to fight against Soviet expansionism and communist subversion. The FBI had already been doing it before then. The CIA was created afterward. Part of that subversion was getting into our minds as Americans. How do we think? How do we behave? How do we view our country and our values and our place in the world? And are we going to stay a strong country? Well, what both the CIA and FBI ended up doing was absorbing that very ideology that the Soviets had tried to implant in us decades earlier, so that we no longer believe in our countries anymore, and our constitution anymore, and our values. And so they have really become what the enemy wanted them become decades ago, and no one's been called into account for it.
You know, this might tie in with what we were discussing in our last segment. We were talking with Professor David Barnheiser about how just the academia had been taken over by radical activists, Marxists, and all that sort of thing. And this is the recruiting pool for our intelligence services.
Sure. Yeah, I witnessed it firsthand. I was a graduate school professor at the Institute of World Politics for many years, and we were a feeder school for the CIA and the FBI and other intelligence services. So I know exactly what it's like for professors to work with students to get them into the intelligence field. So it's just a question of when you get Marxist professors doing the same thing, and they're organized, and they have an agenda that wants to subvert and overthrow everything we hold dear, it's easy to see from the inside how it happened.
Yeah. Now, is there a way out of this? Because I don't see these folks recruiting non-Marxists to their intelligence services anymore. You know, once you take over a thing, it is very unlikely for you to suddenly stop controlling it by your force of your will.
Yeah. Well, they're still recruiting from schools. The thing is, there are fewer and fewer good schools that don't embrace, say, critical race theory or critical law theory, which, you know, you take DEI and you just put it into our legal system and you're weaponizing the law and you're teaching law students that the law is a weapon to achieve a result. There are still schools where, say, Liberty University, for example, is still a feeder school to the intelligence community. Who knows how long it will be before they're disaccredited, but still, there are good people going in. But to get to your question, the real hope is it's twofold. First, we need the right president in who is going to have the executive orders written to implement the first week he's president, and to have a list of who gets removed from their positions and which positions get abolished the first week he's president, and have to have the right team to come in, which, say, Donald Trump did not have the right team or agenda before. He just thought he could do it with the, you know, by saying so and by cutting off the tops. But really, it's the rot is so deep in these agencies, you have to really drill down and start actually picking them apart and salvaging the good parts. But every citizen has a role, too, because, and we don't really think about this when we vote, but the county sheriffs are our last and often most important defense against central government overreach, because the sheriffs have the power to help or not to help the FBI in their counties. FBI doesn't have its eyes and ears every place around the country, unless, of course, it's doing electronic spying, which it often does. But it needs the county sheriffs and it needs the local police to be its eyes and ears and facilitators, because they know the local areas. But also the sheriffs can deputize federal agents to enforce state laws, which federal agents cannot do otherwise. So when you, a lot of sheriffs know this and they're exercising these powers, but a lot of sheriffs either don't, or the public who elected them don't understand it, and they elect the wrong people as sheriff.
Yeah, and a lot of these elections, too, they just kind of go by the wayside, especially if they happen in a year where you're not voting for your congressman or for your president. So you just kind of, oh, the sheriff election and some school board people. Oh, why should I even show up on a Tuesday? I got work to do. But no, all elections are important. Even the ones where you have only one candidate on the ballot, like I saw in the most recent election. I live here in Virginia in my district. The state delegate, there was only one person, so I just wrote some other name in. That you can do that.
Sure. Yeah, it's important to vote no matter what. But this is how we've had so much, this explosion of crime, an explosion of really bad people getting away with murder, because a few years ago, George Soros had the idea, hey, let's fund local district attorney elections and let's get our own wackos in as district attorneys, because most people don't pay attention to local races. And boom, what you just observed happened nationwide. And the same thing happens with sheriffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you also have like the millions of dollars that these folks like George Soros dump into these races. It's like almost what we used to spend on congressional races. So it adds this component of how are you supposed to compete if you don't have this millionaire or billionaire backing you with millions of dollars? How are you supposed to compete with the money when you're just the local sheriff race that no one takes as important?
Yeah. And that's a great thing to point out. If you have a really, really, really well-financed sheriff's race, then you probably have some criminal or ideological element behind the funding of it. So that can often give people an alert, but you can still talk to your sheriff, support your sheriffs where they're not getting public support and where they need it, and then just grill all the Senate candidates. Because again, some of them are good folks who don't understand, or they're just in awe of the FBI, or they're in awe of the central government, or the, you know, the Justice Department gives them cool stuff like M4s and armored vehicles and things that they might or might not need. But there's a price to pay, because then you start kissing up to the central government in hopes that you'll get more stuff and better training. So this is really, even though it's a national issue, it's a very local issue that affects each and every one of us.
And now, how much of this do you cover in your book, Big Intel, How the CIA and FBI Went from Cold War Heroes to Deep State Villains? Do you just give the history behind that, or do you also talk about how the local races for sheriff are important?
I just make a mention of it in the end, because the book, the publisher said the book is so, anguishing in so many ways, and it was to write, that I had to end the book, you know, giving the reader some hope. And in fact, there is hope. So I mentioned local races and what can be done there. There's a whole lot more policy options, especially for this particular year. But when I wrote Big Intel, it was to look at what happened to the FBI and the CIA when Obama made those changes, and then Trump doing almost nothing to improve it because he didn't understand the problem, and then Biden coming in with the Obama team, continuing where Obama left off. But then tracing it back, okay, well, who are the origins to what Obama was doing? What gave them the years of knowledge that they needed to be in positions to be able to make these changes when Obama put them in? Who were their teachers? What were their intellectual sources of information and the political theory and the legal theory and so on. Well, it turns out I discovered this thread back to 1922, so over a century ago, to a meeting in Moscow.
Wow. Well, we'll have to leave it there, but we have 10 seconds left. Where can we get a copy of your book?
You can get it at Costco. You can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Books A Million.
All right, J. Michael Waller, Senior Analyst for Strategy at the Center for Security Policy and President of Georgetown Research. Thank you for being on the Silk Road Joe Show. Again, his book is titled Big Intel, How the CIA and FBI Went from Cold War Heroes to Deep State Villains.
According to iStock's visual GPS research, over 75% of people globally are already using some form of AI technology in their day-to-day work. Grant Farhall, Chief Product Officer at iStock, says when using AI, it's all about creating meaningful connections with your audience.
Our own research shows that over 40% of small and mid-sized businesses are using AI-generated content for marketing purposes. Generative AI tools can help businesses create those important connections that drive long-term value if done correctly.
iStock by Getty Images has released a new tool, Generative AI by iStock, which allows businesses to safely turn their creative vision into powerful content.
Generative AI by iStock empowers you to create compelling visuals to engage your audience. You can explore using AI with confidence by creating images and then downloading them with a commercial license and iStock's standard legal indemnification.
For more, visit ai.istockphoto.com/ITT.
A charming new children's book about a young girl in Jamaica who loves fixing cars with her granddad arrives today. The Blue Pickup by Natasha Triplett is a heartwarming layered story featuring beautiful illustrations by Monica Mackay. The Blue Pickup tells the story of Jew Girl, whose favorite days are spent with her granddad in his garage, fixing cars and hearing stories about his old blue pickup. Granddad used to drive the blue pickup all over the island, bringing happiness to many, but now it just sits in the driveway. One day, Jew Girl asked Granddad if he'd ever fix it, and he's unsure at first, but the pair soon finds out just what it takes to restore the memory of the blue pickup and to create new stories along the way. Author Natasha Triplett.
This book is about the joy of repairing things with our hands and preserving stories with our hearts. I hope it inspires young readers to find the right tools that allow them to take pride in hard work.
The new children's book, The Blue Pickup, is now available wherever books are sold.
Hi, I'm Catherine Judah Chilo. I have three wonderful children with my husband, Sean, who I met on the 17th season of The Bachelor. At just 5 months old, our son, Isaiah, became sick and spent 4 days in the hospital. At first, my husband and I thought he had a common cold, but it turned out to be much more serious. It was respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV. RSV is the number one reason why babies are hospitalized. I'm sharing my story so other parents can learn about the importance of helping protect their babies from RSV when they are most vulnerable to it. If you are pregnant or plan on becoming pregnant, speak to your OBGYN or healthcare provider about the risks of RSV. As a mother, I've seen a lot of warning labels, from choking hazards to baby toys, and I wish RSV came with one. To learn more, visit www.bewareofrsv.com. That's www.bewareofrsv.com. This message is brought to you by Pfizer.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much, from the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between. It really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show.
If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs, and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Thank you for staying with us through this hour of the Silker Joe Show. We are now joined by Dr. Renata Moon. She is a board-certified pediatrician who has spent 20 years working in hospitals and clinics. And at least the last time she was on her sister show, The Al Nathan Show, which was a year ago, she was a clinical associate professor of medicine. But some things have happened since then. Dr. Moon, happy to have you on the show. How are you today?
Good. How are you? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you just fine. So what has happened with WSU and your employment there?
Yeah, so, you know, so my words today are my own. I'm just describing what has happened. I'm not expressing the views of any employer, past or present. So, yeah, so I was asked to speak. I'm a practicing pediatrician. I was asked to speak about my concerns about giving this COVID-19, brand new type of shot to our nation's children. And I was asked to speak at the U.S. Senate hearing that was run by Senator Johnson in Washington, D.C., and as a result of that, my medical school was very upset that I had attended this event on my personal time off, and they actually terminated my employment by not renewing my annual faculty contract.
So how can speaking on behalf of science, because it's not like you just went in there and made up stuff, how did this lead to you being terminated? Like, what were they so concerned about that it called for that drastic of a measure?
Well, I think you'd have to ask them, but they did, you know, they did send me a letter. In the letter, they were very clear that they were upset that I'd been at the event, and they felt that I had spoken misinformation, and that as a result of that, I may not be suitable to teach their medical students any longer. Mm. And that's what they all said in the letter. So they actually spelled it out in a letter that people can look at and read. My comment would just be, look, medicine and science is built on a foundation of questioning, of discussion, of debate, and dialogue. We had just rolled a brand new untested product out into our nation, right? And we were asked to inject that into our nation's children. So for people to be critically thinking and to ask questions and to say, hey, wait a minute, there's a problem potentially with this, is not only reasonable and logical, but it's actually expected, right? We should be questioning things. And so it really alarms me where we are in healthcare today, where physicians can't even question something without, you know, being attacked by employers and honestly, even by patients, but by employers and by regulatory agencies.
Yeah, it's like they're trying to enforce their will on reality to the detriment of public health.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's concerning, right? Because, again, this isn't a product that anyone knew what the long-term side effects would be. And no one really knew what the short-term side effects would be either. So, you know, to roll something out and to tell everyone in medicine that you have to stay safe and effective, and if you see something that's different than what you're used to seeing, you can't even talk about it without fear of losing your job. You know, it's a pretty terrible state that we're in. I would ask people to think about what message this sends to our nation's medical students, what message this sends to other faculty. You know, the message is pretty clear. You had better be quiet, and you had better do what they tell you to do. And if you don't, bad things will happen, right? So we've really suffered a huge loss of free speech in America, and we're in the middle of that.
Well, yeah, because our science seems to be becoming more dogmatic. And if you're seeing this with things like the COVID vaccine, where else are we seeing it? And it even raises lack of faith in the medical community because, well, if this sort of thing is happening for just the COVID vaccine, surely it's happened in the past, could happen in the future. What else is it happening with?
Yeah, I have to say, you know, I've practiced for over 25 years, and I've never, never felt as shackled as we are right now. We really literally can't speak without fear that they're going to come after us in some way. Now, my speaking on behalf of my concerns anyone watching, you know, or listening to this today can go look at my testimony in front of Senator Johnson. I really didn't say anything controversial. I said, there's an increase in heart inflammation and myocarditis. We're seeing that in our communities. I said, we're being censored and silenced. I showed a blank package insert from the box of mRNA product where you pull out this package insert that is supposed to tell you what's in the vial that you're about to, you know, order for a patient potentially. And it says intentionally blank on it. It's just, it's crazy. So I showed that package insert. And I said other nations have shut this down for young people because they say that the risk outweighs any potential theoretical benefit. So I really didn't say anything controversial. I just said, hey, what are we doing? And as a result of that, you know, according to the letter that they sent, you know, ended up losing my employment. Now, they went ahead and took it actually one step further. They actually reported my appearance at the Senator Johnson hearing to my local regulatory board, the board that, you know, manages my medical license. And that board actually launched an investigation against my medical license for alleged unprofessional conduct for having spoken those words at the Senate hearing. So this just gets crazier and crazier. Now, you know, the regulatory boards are there to get rid of physicians who maybe have a drug or alcohol problem or are somehow dangerous to their communities, right? I have practiced for medicine for 25 years. I've never had any actions against my license, against any license. I've never had any lawsuits against me. I would argue that my speaking in front of the Senate was my obligation. So for them to come after me for this is just, it's an obvious weaponization of a regulatory agency against a physician simply trying to do her job and saying, you know, what's going on with this.
And it's sending a warning to anyone else who might get away from the narrative, which, as you said, it's going to impact the rest of the medical community as well, because anyone who might decide to be free-thinking and do their own research, well, this is what happens.
It's obviously, I think, a clear act of intimidation, right? You come after anyone who's trying to speak out because you're trying to, not necessarily, I think honestly they were trying to harm me as well because, you know, put a ding on my license that's otherwise unblemished, right? But I think it's a real act of intimidation. Let's keep everyone else from speaking out and look what happened to her. So you're going to, the other physicians may stay quiet, right? And that is just a terrible place to be. You know, we've seen this before in world history. We've seen this under Stalin. We've seen this under dark times in our world history in the past when oppressive regimes came into play. And, you know, this is exactly what's happening right now. They're coming after people for simply speaking and asking questions that just are logical and make sense, right? Just for the record, I do want to add, I've never actually ordered the mRNA shot for any of my patients. I've never recommended it because the data was clear from the get-go. There was something wrong with this product from the get-go, and it really never should have been given to our nation's children. That's my opinion now.
Well, Dr. Moon, where can we find out more about this? Because I think you mentioned a website a moment ago. We got about 20 seconds left,
yeah.
So go ahead.
Yeah, so I do have a legal team that's been helping me with this battle. And I would look at silentmajorityfoundation.org, silentmajorityfoundation.org. And if you put my name in there, Dr. Moon, it will pull up all these documents. You can actually read the letter from the medical school chairman. You can read the letters from the Washington Medical Commission, the regulatory board. It's very interesting reading. I encourage all listeners to read those letters. This is your taxpayer dollars in action.
All right. Well, Dr. Moon, appreciate being on the Silk or Joe Show. And listeners, be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.